And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Fellas, what's going on? How are we doing? Joe, how are you?
Doing fantastic.
Ryan Porth, how are you?
Phenomenal.
Nice. Very good. What did everybody get into on Monday night? Watch any college basketball? Any college hoops?
The Bachelor.
Oh, we're off to a bad start. My goodness.
I'm really glad I don't watch that show. And I'm glad I'm not made to watch that show.
I don't know if Porth made to. I think he genuinely enjoys it.
Well, that's fine.
Somewhere
I'm just saying,
in between.
If I was watching it, it'd be because I'm made to. You may love it, and that's great.
It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, you love it. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's just total crap he's coming out with over there.
They're quite a ways into this season, aren't they? Pretty deep in here. We're getting down to the...
No, they're only like... I think last night was the fourth episode of the season.
Oh.
Well, they've just transitioned from The Bachelorette to The Bachelor. I know this because my wife, big fan.
So they big just fan. They just go back to back every year.
The schedule's been thrown off because of COVID. Yeah. But yeah, they went back to back.
At my house, we watched The Office because my daughter only wants to put The Office on at all times.
Hey.
We have all of them taped, and we just that's just the default.
You so. Raised her well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great show, but I mean, like, yeah, you get to 6-7 times of an episode, and it's like, okay, can we try something different?
Let's transition to something else.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be the Kardashians.
Oh, man. I'm glad that does not ever get brought up in my house.
We had a bad run in my household of that, so thankfully that's over.
Yeah. Oof. That I would count your blessing so that's over.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to transition from the Kardashians.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of bad reality. Like, I will say this, I think I've said this before, but I'll reiterate it because I'm not ashamed at all. Big Brother is my family guilty pleasure.
Okay.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
It's a great competition.
Yeah.
People, it's not like dumb, like reality. Oh, they all went to the Greek islands and let's watch them get drunk and yell at each other. Like, it's actually a competition.
Yes. Skillful, family friendly competition.
Yeah, not always family
not
friendly.
Always family
but I mean,
family.
As parents, you know, we have our faults.
Just got to grow up sometime, children. Watch this thing.
Yeah, rather than have the talk, just watch some of these movies and figure things out.
Yeah, you'll be all right. That's what we had to do as children. Just figure things out for yourself. Well, the Nashville Predators back at it tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks, the division rival Chicago Blackhawks, 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. Pre-game here at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Obviously, Joe, a tough stretch lately for the Predators. You lose to Carolina last week at home, and then it got rough over the weekend in Dallas, especially on special teams. How important is this next two-game set for the Preds against Chicago, a Chicago team that is not the same Chicago team as we've seen the last decade plus that have been so talented? They are struggling to maintain some healthy bodies and didn't have a lot of talent to begin with heading into the season.
Yeah, well, if you're going to get outclassed and swept by one of the teams at the top of this division, you better do it, turn around and do it to one of the teams at the bottom. You better handle Chicago and Detroit this year. So I think it's huge. Huge game tonight, huge series. You know, try to get 4 points. I mean, condensed schedule, there's a little bit more pressure on every game than in a normal year, and the Preds need to get that good mojo going again.
And one thing you've got to do, especially in a year like this, is stop the bleeding. I mean, a 3-game losing streak is a big deal in a 56-game season.
Right.
You got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding as quickly as possible. And Roman Josi talked about that a little bit yesterday and the attitude of the team heading into this game after a tough set over the weekend against Dallas. Here's what Preds captain Roman Josi had to say.
We talked about it in the start of training camp. You have to trust the process, but it's obviously, it's a fine line between being positive, staying with it, but also being honest with yourself. We want to hold our team to high expectations, to a high standard, and we got to meet that standard. Otherwise, we gotta hold each other accountable. But yeah, like you said, it's early in the year, and honestly, I thought there was the first 5 games. There's a lot of things we did well. There's also a lot of things that we can do better, and we definitely work on those things. But you gotta stick to the plan. Sometimes things in hockey, you can't always control the outcome. So sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes they do. I think as long as you keep doing the right things, keep sticking to the plan every day, you're gonna find more success than not.
So that was Preds captain Roman Josi, and it's interesting. You look at kind of the approach from this team right now, and John Hines has had this term that he's thrown out all year long so far, and he calls it culture games. And it's interesting, you know, he said it after the Columbus game, after you win the first game. This next game, being able to respond, do it twice in a row, that's a culture game. Used the same thing on Sunday after the loss to Dallas to respond to that, called it a culture game. To me, these two are culture. These are two games you ought to win. And you got to win these games if you're the Predators. I understand that it's the NHL and things happen, and sometimes you heavily outplay a team and it just doesn't go your way on the scoreboard. But to me, these are two games that you absolutely need to win.
Culture game sounds like an apocalyptic movie. See, here's the thing. If you think about it that way, though, that's where you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You think about two games. You know, win this game. Win this game tonight and turn things around. By the way, did Josi just go pro? Did he just
start to say
process?
He'd been hanging around Shea Weber way too
Canadians.
Long. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Canadian words, process. Although
offense.
Yeah, but C. May saying against
is great.
The best Canadian thing in the world. Against. I love that.
Against may be my favorite Canadian thing ever.
Process is kind of a British thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's, I guess that's pretty universally Canadian.
Yeah.
But good job, Josi, bringing it back to process.
Yeah. If you got the switch back in there, a little American version of the word process.
Yeah. But the process, important.
Multilingual, that Roman Josi. He can speak a lot of languages.
That's right. But has beautiful flowing hair in any language. But, you know, the process is, it is a big deal for these guys. Because if you get caught up in, God, got to get 4 points against the Blackhawks. I mean, they're still good enough to beat you, even though I barely know anybody on their team still.
Outside of Patrick Kane
and Duncan Keith.
They got Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith. That's about it right now. And then
Duncan Keith looks like he should be in the movie Braveheart.
Oh, my goodness. Dude has got some hair going.
I mean, well, but it's not a beautiful flow like
Josi. It's
I mean, it looks like he hasn't showered in 2 months.
It's a little rough looking for Duncan
Keith. Right, like, yeah, Josi is like, yeah.
He looks like he could be a
That's got conditioner in it.
He looks like he could be a member of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Duncan Keith.
Jim Tom Sula disciple out there.
Good
Duncan
grief.
Keith, just sweating through his jersey. Oh, man.
Michigan State legend Duncan Keith, who's 37.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I mean, Patrick Kane's 33, man.
Wow. I know, you can't really tell, though. Dude's still playing pretty well.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. That's all they've got. I mean, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks right now. Number one, Jonathan Toews has not played yet this year, and who knows when and if he's going to be available this year, dealing with a medical situation that they're trying to get to the bottom of. Kirby Dach already out for the next couple of months, broke his wrist in the World Junior Championships. And then yesterday, Alex DeBrincat, Adam Boak was placed on the COVID-19 protocol list. So, you know, the few weapons that the Blackhawks have offensively at the forward position, a lot of those dwindling away right now heading into this game against the Predators. I mean, obviously, you've got Patrick Kane, and he's very dangerous, 5-on-5, power play, whatever situation that you're in, but not a whole lot of depth outside of that for Chicago right now. Even, you know, with DeBrincat and Boakvist in the fold, now you take him out, it's even worse. And there's just a lot left to be desired from a roster standpoint with the Chicago Blackhawks.
And that's exactly when you lose to a team.
I know,
when
exactly.
You start thinking about that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, you go in the box, and Patrick Kane will make you pay
for
the power play. You know, I mean, you got to clean up that penalty kill quickly.
Well, the power play is where Chicago can beat you. I mean, they're clicking at 42% this year in six games. If you stay out of the box or solve the penalty kill, there's no reason why you can't win this game almost going away.
Yeah, Malcolm Subban probably in goal tonight for the Blackhawks. So, goaltending situation is not great. I don't really consider Malcolm Subban an NHL quality goaltender. He's more of an AHL kind of guy to me.
They have two AHL goalies.
Yeah.
Lankinen's been good so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, good numbers.
Yeah, but we'll see how that kind of stretches out over the long haul. I just wonder, like, from Preds fans, do you still hate the Blackhawks in the same way? Like, is it more difficult to hate the Blackhawks when they suck and they're not any good whatsoever? Because they're not good, and they're not going to be good this year. I wonder if how much that affects the rivalry. Like, is the rivalry stronger when both teams are very good?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Also, it's stronger when the arena can be full and there's a bunch of Blackhawks, although I know that, you know, there's probably way fewer now than there used to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can't. I mean, that used to get the blood boiling, right? Like think about, I mean, I wasn't here, but I know the Red Wings used to get everyone all, and now what is it like? Red Wings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how it goes. It's the rivalry thing. I mean, a couple of years ago, I would have sworn that we were looking at a decade of Preds Jets being like this, and now it's just sort of. I mean, obviously this year they're not, you know, they don't play each other, but I mean that quickly dissipated. I do think that there's a certain permanence to the Chicago rivalry because of the fans.
I would agree with
more
that
more than other teams.
Like Preds, their biggest rivals have gone in spurts. I mean, for a long time, it was the Red Wings. I mean, the whole league was chasing the Red Wings for a long time. They're in the same division. Then Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews come into the league, and it slowly transitioned over Chicago being that team. You know, they've had their different stretches with Anaheim and Dallas most recently. Matter of fact, like between the players, maybe even a little bit of the fans right now, Dallas is up there. In terms of the rivalry,
yeah, but
I still
Corey
think
Perry
Chicago
leaves.
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't he have stayed?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like who's the Dallas star that the Preds fans hate the most now?
Gotta be Rads, right?
It's gotta be Rads. Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, that's more just a him thing. I don't
he's
know. If that's
killing
he's on Dallas.
He's absolutely killing them.
Yeah, Rads is. Oh man, what a time that guy is. But Chicago, I still think if you ask most Preds fans who they hate the most. Chicago's probably at the top of that list.
I think the players hate Anaheim the most.
Oh, players for sure. Well,
now, as time goes on,
maybe not anymore.
Well,
I mean, Kessler's not there.
True, but
I mean, Kessler and Perry were that was the
you had
back to
back epic playoff series against
it's true.
That team.
Yeah.
And
you beat them.
That stuff lingers, exactly. But they, I mean, they're not the Mighty Ducks, they're the Dirty Ducks.
Ooh.
I mean, they get under your skin and just make the blood boil on the ice. And then off the ice, the Preds fans hate them. I mean, I would say the Ducks are probably a close second to Chicago, but, right there with Dallas.
But don't you think it's about the specific people? You know what I mean? Like, who there do you still hate if you're the Preds?
Probably Getzlaff.
Yeah, I mean,
Ricard Raquel guy really drives me nuts.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Kessler not being there is a big deal. Same with Perry. But still, it's the Ducks.
Yeah.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, it's very easy to always hate the Blackhawks, mainly because of their fans. I can see that.
Well, listen, it was hilarious. So what we're talking, yeah, we're basically talking actually more than a decade ago. I think it was the summer of 2010, whenever it was. Man, it was amazing, all these people who suddenly were hockey fans.
Yeah, Chicago.
Oh, you like hockey? Oh.
Wow.
Really? Well, okay.
Big Blackhawks fan, huh?
I didn't realize that. Wow. Oh, that looks like a very new Blackhawks jersey. Has that been in your closet, or did you just buy that?
You know, okay. You see, like, every now and then, when Bridgestone Arena is full and they're playing each other, I'll see a guy walking around in, like, a Tony Amani jersey. I'm like, all right, yeah, you're in here, buddy.
You're legit.
Yeah, you've been around for the long haul. You have gone through some stuff. But all these 88 jerseys walking around and 19 jerseys walking around for Chicago, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I can respect like a Chelios.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, God. Yeah, they are. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. But that city, well documented. I mean, it was years and years. They completely forgot that they existed. So now maybe a nice cycle down. Let's see how they respond. Let's see if they hang in with them.
I wonder how long does Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, assuming hopefully at some point he's back healthy, how long do they hang with this? Like, are they patient for this rebuild? This is not going to be a one-year thing. Like, this is going to take 2, 3, 4 years for Chicago.
They seem like Blackhawk lifers.
They do now. I wonder how much losing happens before that changes.
I hear you, but those are two individuals that it would be almost impossible to see them in another jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man, it happens. And I mean, if you're the Blackhawks and there's someone out there really looking to, you know, add Kane at the deadline at some point here, you know, and you're in this build, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
How many lifers are there anymore? You know, even in pro sports at all.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough to start and finish with one team. But
Pecorine?
Pecorine, yeah. Maybe a good example right there.
There you go.
We'll see what happens. Maybe Pecorine gets in goal tonight. I certainly think either tonight or tomorrow we will see Pekka back in goal. So we'll get a lot to the Preds and the Blackhawks today. Chris Mason joins us at 9:30. Lots to get into with him as well. So big show coming up. Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. Josh Ward at 7:30. They're the latest on the Tennessee coaching search. But when we come back, we'll talk about some potential quarterback movement in the AFC South. There's a quarterback that we know is on the table should the Indianapolis Colts go get him. We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The one thing I'm glad for Matthew Stafford is that wherever he's going to possibly wind up, he's going to be in the best situation he's ever been in his professional life in the National Football League. If you want it with Frank Reich in Indianapolis, with Sean Payton in New Orleans, with Bill Belichick in New England, it is going to be the best coaching situation he has ever had in his life in the NFL. For the first time since Matthew Stafford has been at Georgia, he actually has a chance to have a championship opportunity that's going to be placed at his feet no matter what situation that he winds up in.
That was Freddie Coleman talking about Matthew Stafford on the trading block. News coming out over the weekend that the Lions and Matthew Stafford have mutually agreed that it's time to look elsewhere. It's time to put the star quarterback on the market and look for a trade with Matthew Stafford. Now, Joe, I don't think this is a huge surprise. We've talked about this potentially being the last year for Stafford in Detroit for a while, and we've also talked about what his attraction level could look like on the open market here in terms of a trade. Now, we know that there is a team in the Titans division that has a quarterback opening. Phillip Rivers has retired. He's no longer with the Indianapolis Colts. And it leads a lot of people to believe maybe if you're the Colts, you go out with the roster you have, with the chance you have to win now, you trade for a quarterback, a high-level quarterback that comes in, and maybe they're able to come in and be competitive, maybe the team to beat in the AFC South right from the jump. If you're the Colts, you've got to call and weigh in on Matthew Stafford, right? This has got to be something that Chris Ballard and company is at the top of their to-do list, in my opinion.
Oh, no doubt. I guess, you know, there's some debate out there. Mark Kisla out in Denver, because they're another team that is looking. You know, I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of belief in Drew Lock because you give up on quarterbacks instantly in this league. But they're looking, and he thinks Matt Ryan would be the more attractive. I think Matthew Stafford's a better player right now than Matt Ryan. And if I'm the Colts, I'm certainly – I mean, I'm looking at everything. What are all their options? You've got Wentz, maybe. You can try on Watson. I mean, you may as well try. Ryan, you know, you got Darnold as a possibility out there. I mean, but, like, if you're a Titans fan, look at the Colts. If they got Darnold, okay. They got Wentz, okay. If they got Matt Ryan, okay. But if they got Stafford, to me, that's a problem. I think Stafford's criminally underrated in this league because he has played for, as we know, a terrible franchise, mostly bad teams. I think sometimes he overcompensates for the badness of his team by taking risks that I don't think he would necessarily take on a good team. We'll see. But if you're the Colts, I'd go all in on that because I think you put him in what they have. And, you know, what do they have to give up? That's a good question. Certainly draft capital, probably – you know, maybe a veteran or two as well. But it's still going to be a really strong roster. And then you put him in there, that's the favorite in the AFC South to me.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see if you're the Lions, what sort of a return do you get for Matthew Stafford? What is his trade value right now? And Adam Schefter just talked about the situation in Detroit brewing between Stafford and the Lions and maybe what the Lions are looking to get back in this trade. Here's what Adam Schefter from ESPN had to say.
Matthew Stafford is in a situation where he's not going to be back in Detroit next season, Hatter. They are going to move on from him, and they are going to listen to offers starting this week for Matthew Stafford. Keep in mind, the Senior Bowl is getting underway in Mobile, Alabama. Lions officials will be there. I would imagine they will have trade conversations while there for Matthew Stafford, and I think they're looking for at least a first-round draft pick in return for arguably the greatest quarterback in franchise history. But he turns 33 next month on Super Bowl Sunday, I believe, and they are looking to move on, get what they can. Matthew Stafford will have a new home, and I think he's going to garner plenty of interest around the league.
So that was Adam Schefter from ESPN, and obviously you would assume the Colts are going to be interested in this, but they're not going to be the only team. I mean, there are going to be a lot of teams interested in Matthew Stafford services. You mentioned Denver being one of those as well. I absolutely think that's on the table. So if you're Detroit, what do you think you want back? You mentioned, you know, the first round pick there. I think that would be absolutely necessary in getting Stafford back. But as you look at Stafford, as Schefter said there, he's 33 years old. What do you think he's got left in the tank? What sort of value do you think he has on the open market?
I mean, 33 years old at quarterback in this league, you're a baby, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird league. It's like people are thrown to the trash heap at 23, but at 33, they're young, and at 43, they're still, you know, going to Super Bowl. So it's a very interesting league. On the quarterback front, I mean, the Lions should be in full rebuild mode. The problem is, who really even looks at it that way anymore? You know, it just it seems like, I mean, I know they're bringing in a new coach, they got a new GM and all that stuff, but you still have this urgency to try to be as competitive as quickly as possible because it happens, because teams turn around all the time. I mean, the Titans went from 5-27 to 9-7 just with a few moves. So I don't know. Do the Lions want a veteran back? Because if that's the case, Indy would not be a great trade partner. Do they want a somewhat proven quarterback back? What is Indy? I guess Indy could send them Eason, you know, but that's not – I mean, if that's what they want on top of certainly, I think, a first-round pick, I think he'll command that. And like you said, there's enough market for him, I would think, even with the other quarterbacks out there, that they could get a pretty good price.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, it looks like Rodgers might want out of Green Bay. I know the Titans don't need a quarterback, but do you think that one of these QBs would be an upgrade? Stafford, Watson, Rodgers, do you think there's any chance we can make a move on any of these guys? And do you think we're more attractive to come play for rather than some other teams? So Ron, even though Tannehill, great year, maybe you can upgrade.
Well, look, I mean, look, if you could just swap out Tannehill for Aaron Rodgers, okay, I'd do that. I don't know that I would do it for Stafford. Who's the other?
Well, Watson.
Yeah, I mean, sure, okay, great.
Watson's
yeah.
not coming.
Yeah, it's not. Watson's not coming here.
Even the Houston Texans are not that stupid.
I mean, realistically, you know, realistically, Stafford would be the only one of those three who you could get.
I'm taking Ryan
again.
Tannehill
you just had, Stafford. Yeah, you just had your best offensive year ever. I mean. Like the again in like the Brady stuff. I listened to Darren Dunnigan Chase yesterday yelling at my radio. Willie, I'm with you, buddy. Willie, I am on your team. And Darren, I want you back on the show actually to debate this.
Well, he told you yesterday where he stood. He made it quite clear.
But like the argument is like somehow because the Bucks stunk last year with Jameis Winston. He's like, he threw the most touchdowns. He threw the most picks in the league. He was bad.
He did throw a lot of interceptions.
Like the question is, what does Brady do here? What does Brady do here? What does he do for the deep? I mean, Chase said that they wouldn't have traded for Vic Beasley if they had Brady. I'm yelling at my radio. Willie, thank you for, man, hold the torch high, buddy. We're with you. At least I am. But anyway, Ryan Tannehill had one of the greatest quarterback seasons in Titans history for the greatest offense in Titans history, and that's where people are looking for the problem. That's the problem.
Everybody's always looking for an upgrade at quarterback, man.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, if you can go get Deshaun Watson, sure. Bye, Ryan. See ya.
I don't think that's going to happen. Surely Houston's not that dumb.
I mean, look, I would say that I do think that Stafford is a little more talented than Tannehill, but no, I wouldn't make that trade. No. Stick with this guy. This guy's good. Not your problem, everybody.
Yeah, this is definitely not the problem with the Tennessee Titans, but it does look like the Houston Texans have a gigantic problem on their hands that may not have any way towards reconciliation at this point. And there's a team that's emerged as the favorite that is very, very surprising to me. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
They still think that depending on who they hire as a head coach, that he may be able to be the bridge that brings Deshaun Watson back. Now, as Chris Mortensen said on Sunday Countdown, as I've been told as well, it doesn't look that way to me. I think whoever takes that head coaching job is going to have a tough time changing Deshaun Watson's mind. I think that his feelings are not a reflection of who's going to be the coach or the general manager, in this case, Nick Cassero. I think his feelings are a reflection of the organization, ownership, and I think that he wants to move on. I think he's dug in, and I don't know who they hire if that has any bearing on Deshaun Watson's feelings. I still think he's going to want to be traded.
That was Adam Schefter from ESPN discussing the situation brewing between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. And Joe, more news on that over the weekend. Chris Mortensen comes out on Sunday and says, it doesn't really matter who the Houston Texans hire as their head coach. It's not going to change Deshaun Watson's mind. He is ready to move on. And, you know, we had Brian T. Smith on from the Houston Chronicle last week and just asked him a very simple question. Is this salvageable between Deshaun Watson and the Texans? And the more time that goes on, Joe, the more information that comes out. Not looking very salvageable at this point. Deshaun Watson seems to be very entrenched on his desire to move on, according to reports.
Yeah, I thought maybe the head coach hire might be something, you know, if it was someone he liked. I mean, the Texans may as well just be total idiots and hire Josh McCown then. Like, I mean, sure, just bring him
Could
in and blow the whole thing
interviewed?
Up.
Just, where in the world did that come from?
No idea, man. It's incredible. Some of the dudes who just all of a sudden come out of nowhere and get head coaching jobs this league. But, yeah, so Leslie Frazier is getting a second interview with them. I don't know what the deal is with Bieniemy. But if that's the case, you know, they may as well, you know, just prepare for that. You could stretch this out and hope that he changes his mind. You know, you bring in a new coach and maybe some basically it's like a recruitment process with whoever the new coach is, you know, and maybe that, again, it's sort of like, hey, forget ownership, you know, it's about us on this team. What about the guys on the team? What about the city? No, here's my plan for you, A, B, C, and D. This is what we're going to do. I mean, maybe you can change minds that way, but that's not a good sign that Watson's camp is putting that out right now, that he doesn't care what they do.
And we talked about some potential landing spots for Deshaun Watson. The Miami Dolphins, a name that have come up a lot. But this coming out over the weekend from Armando Seguero, in the Miami Herald, and says Deshaun Watson unhappy with the situation in Houston and he wants to move to the AFC East, but he prefers to play for the New York Jets and secondly the Miami Dolphins in that order. Watson this week told people the Jets are his top preference among the teams he'd like to be traded to because they hire Robert Saleh to be their coach, and Watson values Saleh so much that he wanted the Texans to interview him for their vacant head coaching job. So you know, you look at the roster of the Jets, and they seem like they're pretty far away from contention. But according to this report, maybe the Jets, the top preferred landing spot for Deshaun Watson based on Robert Saleh now being there at the head coaching position.
That's wild. I'll tell you what, I'm a big Robert Saleh fan. He's like Matt LaFleur's best friend. They were like best men at each other's wedding. That's, you think about that. I mean, if and it's one guy, but how much does it matter? How much will it matter for the Jets having that guy in there? You know, I think immediately they are a stronger player in free agency despite all these years of just complete ineptitude. That's pretty amazing, because I never would have guessed Watson would. But, hey, I mean, it does matter. It matters who the coach is. And if he wants to play for that guy, that's really interesting. Does this mean Jets fans are excited now?
My first reaction when I saw that is, of all the things that have happened now in Houston that apparently you're either just tone deaf to or you don't care in this situation with Deshaun Watson, if a report comes out that your quarterback, your star quarterback, would rather go play for the New York freaking Jets rather than stay at home and play for the Texans, That probably ought to be a wake-up call for you and your organization. If nothing else has been at this point, that one probably should be.
I tell you, you should have tried to hire Robert Saleh, you know? I mean, I thought the Lions should have given him half the city to come to come back home to coach the Lions. But, yeah, I mean, that's a slap in the face. But, again, I mean, it's about people. I mean, the last guy they had, all due respect – I mean, I can't rip on Michigan State grads too much, you know. Marshall, Michigan Youth Football League. Yeah,
close ties to Adam Gase.
Well, what? Well, like, where's he going to go? Like, what's Adam Gase? What's his next job?
Maybe Tennessee, man. Maybe he's the OC with the Vols. I've heard some Tennessee fans throw that out. Like, yeah, let's stay away from that.
I don't even think Nick Saban would ponder bringing Adam Gase into his NFL coaching program.
Man, if you can't get into Saban's coaching program, that's really bad.
How about Doug Marrone as his OL coach, by the way?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll just take an NFL head coach to be my position coach.
Offensive line coach. I got like, hey, Doug, I've got about 17 five-star offensive linemen I'd like you to work with. Have fun.
God. I don't know, man. I think Saban might take on the Gase train. I mean, he had Gase.
He did.
You know, he didn't have Gase. Gase was in the program because he was best friends with Ryan Van Dyke, Marshall, Michigan quarterback, who actually was a really talented player, got a lot of injuries. But that's why Gase was around to, like, be his buddy, little buddy, you know, student assistant. I'm sure Saban would open the doors for Adam Gase.
I'm interested to see where this goes from Deshaun Watson from this standpoint. You know, Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle said, you know, at some point you need to hear from Deshaun Watson. Like, the cryptic tweets and the song lyrics and everything that you see on Twitter is one thing. It sounds like, by all reports, he's done. Why not just come out and say you're done at this point? Like, if it truly doesn't matter what the head coach is or what that next hire looks like between Houston and trying to keep him there in that relationship, why not just say, you know what, guys? I'm done. Trade me.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be good to hear from him. But, again, if you're the Texans, I mean, that's really what your hope is. Make the hire, and then now your entire existence is – get that guy back for us.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, you can, if you're a Texans fan or if you're in the organization, you can sit there and say, we could get this, and the market will be great. But no, the better thing is to actually hold on to a generational quarterback. So whoever they hire, he's going to make a run at him. And he should. And you know what? I'm not totally convinced yet that it won't work.
With that in mind, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. We've talked about Matthew Stafford being on the open market. We've talked about maybe Deshaun Watson as well being on the market at some point. Between Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson, how many of them do you think start the 2021 season in the AFC South? The options are both, one, or neither of them beginning play in the AFC South. Right now, 134 votes are in. 55% say one of the two quarterbacks will be in the AFC South, 30% say neither, and just 15% say both. So expecting either some movement on that front with Deshaun Watson and Stafford coming in, or maybe some Titans fans expecting Deshaun Watson ultimately to stay put, even though there's a lot of noise right now.
I think that's – I mean, I still think there's a pretty hefty percentage chance that it works out that way for all this rhetoric, you know? I mean, we'll see. They got to make a coach hire first. I mean, my gosh, they're the last one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got a coach now. Make the coach hire.
Well, my question
– start recruiting.
If you're a Titans fan right now – yeah, yeah. Give me some Josh McCown in there.
That'll get it done.
If you're a Titans fan right now, what would you rather see? You know, you see Tannehill and Henry. You recognize what the window is with this group. What would you rather see? Would you rather see Deshaun Watson remaining in your division with Houston next year? Or would you rather see Stafford come in next year with the Colts on an already loaded roster? It's an interesting question because obviously Deshaun Watson, I think, is a lot better than Matthew Stafford. But that roster, you got a lot of work to do in Houston. I just wonder if you're a Titans fan, which would you rather see happen? Stafford to Indianapolis or Deshaun Watson hanging around in Houston?
That's a tough one. Because obviously Watson was great last year and they still were terrible. So you can hope that continues. But, boy, it seems pretty attractive to get him out of your division.
It does, especially for the long term. I don't think this answer is all that complicated. But right now in this window for the next 2-3 years, I mean, Stafford coming into Indy could be a huge problem.
Yeah. Give me Watson remaining in Houston.
Yeah.
What's all that? Day long. Give me Watson remaining in Houston instead of Stafford going to the Colts.
Yeah.
All day long.
Well, I think that's probably the right choice because the Colts have a good GM. Like, they have a good thing going. They know how to pick players and build a team. And so you put a good quarterback in with that. And the Texans, and we'll see. Nick Caserio, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's
good luck, buddy.
Yeah. But ownership there is a problem. So I agree. Because, I mean, Matthew Stafford may be older, but how many? He's got 5-6 good years left, right? Yeah. I mean, that could be a reign of terror from Indy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not going to take that much offensively for Houston to be very dangerous. I mean, you get another receiver in there and get an offensive line that could keep Deshaun Watson somewhat upright. Dude's pretty good. I think that offense could become dangerous in a hurry, but, man, it's still very scary to me if you're a Titans fan to imagine what the Colts could look like with Matthew Stafford. So that's going to be very interesting to monitor, and we'll see if there's any movement on that front as the offseason gets underway. As Adam Schefter mentioned, the Senior Bowl coming up, and a lot of conversations happen at the Senior Bowl. So maybe in the next couple of weeks, Matthew Stafford is on the move. Hopefully for Titans fans, it's not to the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC South. Hey, make sure you're tuning in today in the 8 o'clock hour. We will have a pair of Predators tickets to give away for their game against Chicago tomorrow night on Wednesday night. Your opportunity to win the cue to call will take place in the 8 o'clock hour today here on the show, so make sure you're tuning in for that. When we come back, we've talked a lot about the offensive coordinator position for the Titans, the job opening that is there. Could they be closing in on their candidate? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 7:30. We'll get into the latest in the Tennessee coaching search with him, so looking forward to that conversation. Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joins us at 9 o'clock, as he does each and every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So we'll get into the NFL playoffs, lots of news and notes around the NFL as well that Charles is one of the best in the business at. So looking forward to that conversation at 9. And then Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, joins us at 9:30. So a lot still to get to today here on the show. And Joe, one of the things the Titans still have to get to is finding an offensive coordinator to fill the role that Arthur Smith leaves open. And we talked yesterday about Pep Hamilton reportedly getting an interview from the Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's a great choice. If that ends up being the route that the Titans go, Pep Hamilton, I think, has a chance to do really well. I think it has an opportunity to work out very nicely for the Titans if he's the offensive coordinator choice. Should he be the front runner for this job? And if he comes in, what sort of a job do you think Pep Hamilton can do in this offense with Tannehill and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and all the different weapons that the Titans have?
Well, I mean, the bar is high, you know, for all that talent. I mean, the bar is very high, you know, in terms of what Arthur Smith was able to do in particular. I mean, Arthur Smith took it to another level from what LaFleur did in his 1 year. And I think a lot of people around the league don't understand what Arthur Smith did. He didn't just hand the ball to Henry and, you know, run play action off that. They had a really good offense, great designs. And so, I mean, it's, you know, there's pressure for whoever comes in here. And I think especially if you bring an outsider, I mean, you don't want to mess it up. Like, this is something you don't want to mess up. But Pep Hamilton, in particular with his quarterback, I mean, you know, Jay Cutler with the Bears, obviously Andrew Luck both in college and with the Colts. I mean, the early days of Andrew Luck's career, Pep Hamilton was his guy. And then sort of had a, you know, he went to be assistant head coach in Cleveland. Then he goes to Harbaugh for a couple of years. He works with Shea Patterson. Then he does the XFL thing, but really triumphant return last year to the Chargers when you look at what Justin Herbert did as a rookie. So there's a lot to like about his career. But it's more on the quarterback performance side than necessarily you know, the play calling side. He was OC with the Colts for those 3 years. So he was OC with Harbaugh at Stanford as well. So he's been an OC. But it actually has been a while since he's been a play caller. You're going back to that Luck year when they got to the, you know, the Deflategate year.
Oh, yes.
Was the last year that he was OC.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a while. And, you know, obviously, I mean, he can do it. I don't think there's any question about that. I just wonder, as you look at this Titans offense, and it may be crazy to even think about this, given how productive they were all season long, but is there another level that it can reach? I mean, think about what they went through this year. A.J. Brown, as we found out, battling through injuries the entire year. Taylor Lewan out in the fifth game of the season. Is there another level that this Titans offense can reach? They were the best Titans offense in history. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards. Ryan Tannehill had a great year. Is it possible that they can get even better? I'm not saying Derrick Henry, you know, running for 2,500 yards next year or anything like that, but as a whole, can this offense still get better? Is there still room to grow for this offense under Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I think they need the true deep threat. That's what they haven't had. And A.J. Brown can be that guy, but who's they haven't had that, you know? So I would say yes, but then I also want to know the answer of, are they keeping Jonnu Smith? Are they keeping Corey Davis?
Yeah.
If they lose even one of them, then that's a hole. You know, either way, that's a hole. So if they prioritize those two guys and then somehow they can add, you know, a Rondale Moore or somebody like that. I mean, everybody's looking for the next Tyreek Hill. I don't know if anybody's going to find the next Tyreek Hill. KJ Hamler was that guy out of Penn State last year. You know, we'll see what happens with him. But I think that's the thing, is a real vertical threat to go with everything else. Then, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe. I think the offensive line looks to be in good shape, even with the first-round pick right now as a major question about the future.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan texts in and says, Pep Hamilton is trash. Not okay. A big fan of all Pep right. Hamilton.
And why is that?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting, though, because, I mean, think back to when the Titans hired Arthur Smith and just what the reaction was to that. It wasn't very positive among Titans fans because you have no idea where Arthur Smith was. And you know, he'd been a quality control coach, a tight ends coach, and had never called plays before. And you bring him in, and you think back to the state of the offense at that time, too. I mean, Mariota's still the quarterback, LaFleur was in and out, and the offense was not very impressive under Matt LaFleur. The reaction wasn't great when Arthur Smith was hired. Even if the reaction is not great this time, regardless of who it is, you can get a lot of pieces to work with on this offense. So I think Pep Hamilton, at this point in his career, is way more proven than Arthur Smith was when he took over the job. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to come in and do the same job that Arthur Smith did and be as good. But I think Pep Hamilton certainly is more qualified to be the OC than even Arthur Smith was at the time he took it.
Right. You know, the thing with on Arthur Smith is you can come in and exceed expectations, you know.
Exactly.
You can come in and, first of all, he took over an offense that was okay in 2018. It wasn't great. And then, again, it's like he's an unknown. So can the guy even call plays? Who knows? I don't know. You know, and this would be good to ask, you know, our Colts friends, like, what was Hamilton as a play caller? Is that why there's someone saying he's trash? I mean, it's been a long time. But how could you argue with the quarterback performance? You know, I mean, it's like you want to handpick. Sometimes you want to give some people credit for quarterbacks being good, and then sometimes like, wow, that quarterback was just too good. I mean, it's like with Harbaugh. There is a little bit of, well, Harbaugh, maybe he had a generational guy, and that's why we think he's this quarterback guy, because it hasn't worked out for him with Pep or with anyone. So, I mean, I think that's fair. But, again, Justin Herbert this year to me, that must have been some pretty decent coaching to get that guy. I mean, there were questions about Justin Herbert. A lot of people who weren't sure he would be player in the NFL, and I was pretty impressed with him this year. How is that not traced, at least in part, to Pep Hamilton? Then why do you have these guys in these jobs?
Yeah, I think that's a exhibit A, if I'm Pep Hamilton, of the job he's most recently done as quarterback's coach there with Justin Herbert. I mean, the guy was outstanding this year in L.A. So certainly that's got to look good for Pep Hamilton and his resume. Do you think he's the front runner for this job right now? We've talked about maybe the potential of going in-house and promoting from within, and we know they've at least been looking outside of the organization. It's hard to identify when you're not in the conversation of who exactly the front runner is, but But as all the candidates are out there, you got Pep Hamilton in the fold. We've heard about some other candidates. They've reached out, you know, to the college game as well. Do you think Pep Hamilton should be the favorite based on what we know to be the candidates that are out there and what the potential candidates would be in-house?
Of the outside guys, yes, but I'm not convinced that he's the front runner. Until we see Vrabel, and it's a short sample size, but so far what we've seen of Vrabel is he likes to go internal. Yeah. He likes to go with people he knows. So I still think there's a good chance that happens. I think it's also good that he's out there talking to people. I mean, you got to do that. You got to open your mind to different things and be open to just people coming in and changing things. It might change things for the better. But until he actually hires someone from the outside, I think there's a chance that it's just a promotion here, no doubt about
it. Well, and regardless of who it is, the expectations, they're going to be very high. And, you know, I just wonder, like, if the Titans offense is good next year, but it's not great like it was this year, how much blame is going to go on the OC because of that? And how much, in retrospect, do you look back and say, man, Arthur Smith was really, really good? Like, we think that now, but I do think, regardless of who the hire is, if this offense takes a step back, and maybe it's just because the personnel isn't exactly the same, and it just takes a step back, but fairly or unfairly, if that happens, a lot of blame going to be placed on the OC. There is pressure that comes with this job.
Right. I mean, look, if this guy got an interview with every team and he got a head coaching job, that tells you – I mean, everything about Arthur Smith's career tells you they're going to miss him, that it's going to be very tough to replace him. So this is not the ideal. It's I mean, look, it's not like some, like, legendary head coach or something following him. But, you know, it's hard to come in and try to follow up someone who performed that well. It's pressure.
Yeah, and we'll see what the Titans decide to do on that front. A coaching opening to fill on that side of the ball, and we'll see what they do at defensive coordinator as well. Still very curious to see what happens with the Titans on that front. When we come back, we will dive into the Tennessee head coaching search underway now with Danny White and company in Knoxville. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.